Okay, this is Luke chapter 13, verses 10 to 22. 22 to 35. Okay. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" He said to them, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I will tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, 'Sir, open the door for us.' But he will answer, 'I don't know you or where you come from.' Then you will say, 'We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets.' But he will reply, 'I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers.' There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last." At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox, 'I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Amen.
Thank you. That was read absolutely beautiful. Round of applause. That was great. Thank you. And do you know, I was just thinking earlier with Parkway Friends that we've been in this church 20 years this year. That's a long time, isn't it? But this is the first time I've actually had to bring my glasses. So it's not good, is it? Dear, oh dear. Anyway, well, rock and roll. I'll put it in big print, so we'll see how we go. knock, knock. Yeah. Ben. Been knocking for 10 minutes. Knock, knock. Doris. Doris locked. Why were you knocking? Knock, knock. A door. Yeah, thanks, Deb. I'm glad it's me and you here. It's good. Thanks. I appreciate that. A door is between us. Please open up. Knock, knock. Lettuce. Let us in. It's cold out here. Yeah, I did actually ask someone to record the jokes for me, but he didn't come up with the mustard, so I'm afraid you had to experience my joke giving, which isn't actually that good. So, but thanks, Deb, but at least we were on it. I appreciate you, my friend. So the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and I thought Simon absolutely smashed it last week with the penguins in the bush. Now, if you didn't see the penguins in the bush, that is a treat for YouTube for later. So today, the visual aid from our reading is a door, correct? This is audience participation, yeah? So I wanted to bring in a door, but it wasn't easy to find one knocking around. Do you know, I have learned from the Master, and I said this morning at Parkway that, our dear friend, Mr. Murphy, starts off, doesn't he, with a joke. So I'm only learning from the Master. a door. I wanted to bring one in, and it got me thinking about our friend's house. I've got a door on the wall, and she calls it art, but it is actually a door. It's a very funky looking door, but it is a door on the wall. I would have shown you a picture of it. And you will have seen and walked through many doors already this morning. And so there are no visual aids this morning. You just need to think of... So here is my visual aid, the door, okay? Not as good as penguins in bushes, but there you go. So in Luke chapter 13, if you're following it, verse 22, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's preaching and teaching on the way. Nothing out of the ordinary. That's what you do when you're the Son of God and people want to listen to you. They maybe ask you questions. So in verse 23, what happens is we've got, they ask Jesus, how many will be saved? Many or few? Fair question from inquiring followers, don't you think? And Jesus, this is when I start thinking a little bit round the topic. And I think Jesus answers the question like a politician, in that he ignores the question, perhaps because he knows what's coming and that it's a bit of a setup. And instead, in verse 24, we read that Jesus replies with, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try and enter and will not be able to. So, and then it goes on into verse 25, where it says, once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will be standing outside knocking, pleading, sir, open the door for us. And he will answer, I don't know you or where you have come from. Get away from us. I mean, maybe a bit cross because you've got him up and to open the door. But that aside, I don't know you. Get away from me. And in the passage, as we've read, was beautifully read this morning, Jesus tells us about people knocking at the door. But remember, the actual question they asked on the road to Jerusalem in just a couple of verses previously was about how many will be saved and it will be too late. And then he starts switching it and talking about a door. And then he goes on to say that the door is a narrow door. And I'd got all my signs this morning, narrow door. And Jesus then starts talking about this narrow door. But what door is he really talking about? Well, we know, because we've read the end of the story, that the door is the door to heaven, and everybody wants to get into heaven. That's why they're asking, what must we do to get through the door? And Jesus starts talking about the narrow door. Don't you think that sounds a bit harsh? That he starts answering a question they've not even asked. And then he starts talking about how difficult it's going to be. The door is narrow. And we talk about Jesus' love being freely available. And the door that we must find is narrow. And how do we enter? And you can hear in those first few verses that we read, you know, how many are going to get through? There's a bit of urgency in their voice because they're thinking maybe there might not be room. But then finally, in verse 23, they get an answer. The door to enter heaven is the door actually about Jesus, which is actually the response to the original question they ask in verse 22. And we know that God's heart is large, and certainly the rest of Luke points that out. And we know that the door to heaven is narrow and that Jesus is the door. And we know, because we've read the rest of the story, that no one can get into heaven or come to the Father except through Jesus. Acknowledging that we've gone our own way instead of following his way. And the Bible just calls that sin. I've always thought that's a bit of an odd word. It's not in my everyday language. I don't know about you. Sin. But sin is just that we've gone our own way instead of following his way. And it says in the Bible that if we confess our sin and our wrongdoings, he forgives us our sin and cleanses us and leads us on. So who can enter that door? Well, anyone who confesses their sin can enter into that door. We can have put our faith and our trust in him, and we therefore won't be left outside, standing, knocking, and asking to be let in. And I think some of those verses are actually quite hard-hitting, aren't they? Some of the Bible, don't you find that when you read it, it's a bit uncomfortable, a little bit awkward, a little bit spiky? I mean, that whole gnashing of teeth thing, it's a bit weird, a bit kind of not my language. And when I started to read this, I thought, this is certainly one of those texts. And the challenge that I think that we would have from these verses is that actually following Jesus is a choice. And I think that's the essence of the conversation. It's actually about making a conscious decision to follow Jesus Christ, to put him first in your life, in your decisions, in your plans, to seek and to strive to follow him. That moment where you choose it for yourself. I was 14 when I chose it for myself. I remember it as clear as anything. It was in my school. There was a Christian organization who'd come to do something. I was a bit involved in it because I'd been to church a lot of my life and wore my hat. Can you believe? And I remember at that moment when he started to explain what it was to let go of the things that held you, to let go of the bad, the sad, the mad things in your life, and to follow Jesus. And I remember praying the prayer of faith when I was 14, that actual conscious decision to follow Jesus. And there's more to getting through that narrow door as we read on. It actually says in verse 24, make every effort. It doesn't say just walk through it. It says make every effort to walk through it. And that word is actually translated as strive. Striving comes from the word that describes athletic contests. Fights or struggles which require real exertion to complete. It's where we also get the word agonize from. Following Jesus is not for the faint-hearted, and it certainly isn't for the backseat driver. Paul describes following Jesus as the fight of faith, the fight, the good fight of faith. But I hear you say, in your learned minds, but isn't salvation, being saved, that process of being rescued by Jesus, it's about grace, that undeserved favor, that unmerited favor through faith alone. And it even says in Ephesians, doesn't it, for Jesus died for us while we were still sinning, while we turned our backs on Jesus. He gave that unmerited favor for each one of us. But it is the gospel of Jesus that makes us spiritually alive. And we have to understand that sometimes our faith is a struggle, a fight to the finish. One of my favorite bits in the Bible, in Philippians 3, it talks about, in Philippians 3, verse 12 and 14, it talks about Paul is explaining the Christian faith as running a race. And he says, I press on towards the goal. Not that I've already obtained all of this or have been made perfect. I press on towards the goal to win the prize. And he says it again, I press on towards the goal, for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. He run in the race. He's finishing strong. He puts in every effort. No one gets to heaven by accident. There's actually an element of effort, a choice that we invest in our relationship with Jesus, and we go through that narrow door. And then we get to the really awkward bit in verse 27, where it says basically that the owner of the house has shut the door. And if he did open it, he wouldn't recognize the person stood there. I don't know where you've come from. And they're like, well, we've eaten with you. We've drunk with you. Why don't you know us? It's me. Hello. And it's like, well, no, don't recognize you. Get away from me. And then verse 28, the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. That's the really awkward bit. Why was I asked to speak on that bit? And then they're saying, you can see Abraham and all of those amazing prophets, all of those amazing godly people who have won the race. They'll all be there, but you won't be because you didn't enter the narrow gate. It's getting even worse. It's sounding even more difficult. And as you read some of the commentaries around chapter 13, I think you begin to understand the bombshell, basically, that it was to those original hearers and why perhaps they would ask that question. Can only a few get through? This whole chapter is about repentance and faith. It's about turning away from our sin, our things that take us away from Jesus, and turning and trusting and putting our faith in Jesus. The whole chapter tells Jesus about, you know, these unexpected tragedies like murder, natural disasters. We've got the tower falling, killing people. And basically, it's all about the judgment of God, which is quite extreme when you really read it. Nice Sunday afternoon reading for you after the barbecue. And then he starts talking about those parables, doesn't he? About cutting the fig tree unless it bears fruit. You know, what is it there for if it's not to bear fruit? Then the mustard seed parable, which points to the coming of the kingdom of God. And so he's already setting the scene for the narrow door. No one gets to heaven by accident. We see that in verse 24. It's a choice, choosing to go through that narrow door. For the road to heaven is narrow. And the parallel passage in Matthew, I think, explains it further because it says, enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to a road of destruction. That's straightforward. It's wide, it's opening, it's beckoning. But actually, those who'll enter it are many, many people. But actually, the gate that I'm offering you is narrow. And there's an element of choice and there's an element of striving you have to do to get through this door. Jesus says, doesn't he? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me but by the Father. John 14, verse 6. But not all roads lead to heaven, and the narrow door is really about those who acknowledge their need for a Savior who can rescue them and their need to make a choice to walk through that narrow door. The narrow gate, was it actually a gate? Was Jesus actually talking about a gate in Jerusalem or somewhere? And there's a lot of commentaries that basically can't really decide if Jesus was talking about an actual gate or a particular gate. But if you've been to Jerusalem, all the streets are pretty narrow anyway, and you kind of weave your way around them. And some of the gates are pretty narrow, and you can see some people like unloading stuff off their trolleys or whatever to get through the gate. And maybe Jesus knows that, so he's using it as an example that his listeners will understand and appreciate. Because sometimes the narrow gate is a difficult choice. It's maybe not so straightforward, and it's hard, and it's a difficult and lonely road because God's heart is large. And as Luke points out, the door to heaven, the choice to walk through it, is narrow. And our challenge today is about that moment of walking through that narrow door where you choose for yourself. So my question this morning is, have you chosen to walk through that narrow door? Have you stepped in through it and confessed with your mouth, actually said it out loud, that Jesus is Lord? He is the boss of my life. I will put him first and foremost in my plans, in my decisions, in my walk, in my marriage, in my bringing up my kids, in those everyday choices. Have you chosen to put him first? Have you invited God's Holy Spirit to live inside you, to walk with you, to sustain you when life is hard and throws things at you? Because you will no longer be separated from God, but you will know his wisdom and his strength and his guidance walking through. Because walking through that narrow door opens up the access to God and guarantees your place in heaven. And you can receive the presence of God so he can never leave you, never forsake you. You will never, ever then be on your own. Do you remember that moment when Jesus died on a cross and he was there, wasn't he, with his arms stretched out and he looked up to heaven in agony and he said, my Father, why have you left me all on my own? Why have you forsaken me? That agonizing aloneness. But with Jesus, we may never need to know that. Hallelujah. I want to say hallelujah. I don't know about you. I'll listen to myself and I'll say hallelujah. Because that is something else. Nothing in this world can give us that satisfaction and that knowledge. That Jesus can live within us when life is good or when it's difficult. When I was doing my preaching training in the Methodist Church in the early 1990s, I started young, for those swift amongst you. And I wrote it down in the front of my Bible, so I'll read it to you. This is what he said to me, my preaching mentor. He said, your job as a preacher is to lay the table, open God's word, explain it, contextualize it, draw parallels with modern life, offer learned interpretations, offer theological insight, trying. But as with a meal, you don't lay the table and leave it. You invite your family and your friends to come and taste and eat. Likewise, your job as a preacher is to invite people to come and sit and join with you at the table and eat. And so come, join me at the table to acknowledge that you have gone your own way instead of following God's, to accept Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, and to walk through that narrow door into a new relationship with him. I don't know where you're at in your faith journey this morning. Maybe you were brought up in the Christian tradition, your parents' influence, and maybe you never made a declaration of your faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe you did make that declaration of faith, and maybe you've wandered off a little bit, not so keen anymore. Maybe you do believe, and you've walked through that narrow door. You know the freedom of Jesus Christ in your heart, that acceptance. But you've just never had that opportunity to go public and declare it out loud. For it is a choice, and Jesus stands, and you can knock at the door, and he will welcome you in. It's a choice to go through the narrow door. Unload the baggage that stops you getting through. Do you know, I always remember the time I was doing the long distance running when I was at school. I hated long distance running. It's ironic now because I quite like running. But I just get really hot and sweaty. It was up a hill and all the rest of it. I hated it. And I had this big blue jumper on because it was really cold. Why do you do cross country in the cold? I mean, it's just ironic, isn't it? Anyway, and I remember seeing my mum, who was shopping in the town centre, and I ran towards her. I gave her my jumper, and then I said, I'll see you later. She's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Gave her my jumper, and then I ran off. And I remember then running on to school. I mean, the bit of the story is I didn't win or anything, but I did finish. And I remember that moment where I took it off, and then I could run better, and I had clarity of purpose. Unload the things that hold you down, that stop you getting through the narrow door. For Jesus invites you to leave your stuff at the gate and to enter through. Or if you've ever played that buckaroo game, you know what I'm talking about? Where you load the stuff on the donkey, you know, the roll, the light, the guitar, the rope, the suitcase. And at some point, the poor donkey bucks and it all flirts off and you've lost the game. Well, I didn't have the game this morning because I thought we'd got a barbecue to get to anyway. But if you walk through the narrow gate, take off all of those things that burden you. And reload with grace, with forgiveness, with the freedom that accepting Jesus brings. And you can walk through the narrow gate. I wonder how you're feeling as you sit here this morning. I've asked Ellen and Robbie to come on up. Come on up. And they're going to sing you a song. And you might want to respond by just sitting there with your hands open, with your eyes closed. I'll pray after it for God to come and take his place in your heart again, to say that you love him, to say that you want to follow him through the narrow door, even when times are tough, because you know the love and the grace that God can bring as you join him, as you walk through that door.
Rule in my heart forever. Rule
Jesus, we open our hands this morning to ask you to take your rightful place. God, we confess before you the need for you in our lives. We confess before you when we have gone our own way instead of following yours. We confess this morning when we have turned our backs on you. And God, we acknowledge that we need you in our lives. And we accept your forgiveness, your grace, your mercy, and your freedom. God, we choose to go through the narrow door, but that door is open wide. Holy Spirit, we invite you afresh to come and fill us where we are dry and weary and thirsty and need you in our lives. When life is good and when life is hard, Holy Spirit, come and guide us. Guide us through. Strengthen us when we are weak. Give us hope when there is despair. Give us your peace and your grace that comes from knowing you. Help us to put you first and foremost in the decisions that we make, in the choices that we make. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I know we've got some of those booklets that explain what it is to follow Jesus, why Jesus asked Simon and Catherine, and they can give you one if you've never really understood what it means to follow Jesus in your life. And if you do, then share that with others. In Jesus' name, amen.